I came prepared this time. I brought my own chair. I had some back by popular demand, some pickup lines. I have a couple of things to share with you after that, because there's a special occasion happening today, and I'm going to share a couple of those with you. Guys, I guarantee you this much about all these pickup lines. I guarantee you this much, that every girl will notice you. They might not like you. They might not think you're funny. But here's the thing. If you can find a way to be on the radar, that's a chance. Here, I mean, if you have that girl, say you're going, by the way, I'm going to give you guys some free life advice before this. Here's my free life advice. How many of you know, guys, girls, y'all know the rating scale, you know, you rate somebody from like a 1 to a 10. Yeah. Guys, find yourself a good solid 7, 7.5. They're going to appreciate you a lot in life, especially if you think you're like an 8 or a 9. Think of that. If you think of yourself as that, and you slum down and you find this girl who's, you know, pretty in God's eyes. And that's what you need. This is the begging one. You can start out with this one. You must be an Egyptian because I'm a slave for you. I would part the Red Sea for you. Okay, don't go. Do you want to be accountability partners? Do you want to be accountability partners? See, we're getting back to scripture here. All right. Let's be like Noah and do this as a pair. On the first date, I always take girls to eat barbecue ribs. I feel it's the most biblical considering they came from me. Need a little Bible knowledge to get that one. You're so unblemished, I would sacrifice you. There you go. Here's a visual illustration. Caroline, would you stand up for me?
Oh, no.
It's a visual illustration. Stand right there. All right. And you can just start it just like this. Just like this. Say, how many times do I have to walk around you until I break down your walls? Yeah. See?
Carolina.
A guy will remember. A girl, you will be remembered forever. You want to come over and watch God's Dead too? That's a little more subtle one there. God's not dead too. God's not dead. Sorry. Sorry, if you want to get a Satanist girl, go with God is Dead, all right?
God is dead and we killed him.
You're perfect, except... Wow, all right. Let's try this again. I may not have a job right now, and I live in my parents' basement, but I swear to you I'm storing up treasure in heaven. My mansion's going to rock. Okay, and this is one, guys, this is one of those last resort ones. This is the one you use on the girl before she moves. One before she moves, all right? That way you've either got it or you've eliminated any chance forever. Okay? So this is the home run one, right? Brad, this is the home run one, all right? This is the one where you swing for the fence. You either hit it out of the park or you're done. All right? I'm no Joseph, but I'm having trouble interpreting the dreams I've been having about you. See? See? There you go. There you go. I'll leave those underneath. You guys can exchange some of those. You have a fall retreat coming up this weekend, so maybe you can hit me up and get a picture after. 2 Chronicles 10 is where we're going to be tonight. 2 Chronicles 10, I know that was a really abrupt transition. 2 Chronicles 10, I want to talk to you guys about a dude named Rehoboam in the Bible. All right. I'll talk to you guys about a guy named Rehoboam. How many of you know Rehoboam? How many of you know what you answer with your hands, not with your mouths? How many of you know exactly what you want to be when you grow up? Exactly. You know exactly what you want to be. All right.
I want to be a lawyer.
Want to be a lawyer. What do you want to be?
Well, my cheat answer is I want to be happy. My actual answer is I want to be a musician.
Be a what?
Be a musician, which is basically starving for
failure. Yeah, I was going to say, there you go. I understand. I have a ministry degree, dude. Trust me, I understand starving for... Dave's back there like, yep.
You did both. That's why I have a second degree.
Right, yeah. Go ahead, Josh. Did you... Do you have one? Okay. So you got a plan. Mary, did you have one? What? Interior designer? What'd you got?
Marine biologist.
Marine biologist. Did you have your hand up, Ella?
Huh?
Okay, awesome.
Well, I have two. I'm going to say like the one that's coming up. Accuracy.
Okay. What do you got? What do you got? You're two, yeah. What's the first one? I didn't hear you.
An actress.
An actress. What was yours? What was yours? Front row. What was yours?
Marine Corps firefighter.
Marine Corps firefighter. All right, guys. What I always wanted to do, what I always wanted to be when I grew up. Whoa. Isn't that crazy? It's right there. I always, well, that's, I actually got a chance. I got evaluated by Ohio Valley Wrestling. I wanted to be a professional wrestler. But you know what I found out after I got evaluated? They said, work on your mic skills. You may be a manager. You might have a chance even to be an announcer. But you will never be physically good enough to be in the ring. Doesn't that make you feel awesome? I want to talk to you guys. We're going to pray here in just a minute, and we're going to shift gears. We're going to pray here in just a minute. We're going to shift gears. So why don't we go ahead and pray, and then I'm going to talk to you about the rest of life. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to be here. I thank you for an opportunity to have fun with these guys. Lord, I praise your name, that your word is truth, that your name is love, that you have the name above all names, and that at your name every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that you are Lord one day. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have come, as your word says in John chapter 10, to give us life and give us life more abundantly. And tonight, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to learn about that abundance, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. If you've got a Bible on your phone, if you just want to listen to me, if you got your Bible actually physically on you, that's cool too. I'm getting a little older, so I print out everything so I can see the big print. That's just what happens when you get old. I want to talk to you guys about a guy named Rehoboam. Rehoboam. One of these days, I'll even say his name right. Rehoboam was, how many know who David was in the Bible? Okay, you know who David was. All right, we got David. Now it gets a little harder. How many know who Solomon was? David's kid. How many of you know who Solomon's kid was who took over after he died? It was Rehoboam. Okay, Rehoboam takes over. I'm going to get you guys this, and I want to set the scene. Rehoboam has life handed to him. Some of you guys can't relate to this because some of you guys' life's been hard so far. How many of y'all ready for break at school, all right? How many of y'all ready? All right. Some of y'all don't even have a break coming. You're just ready. All right. Have your hands down. All right. So Rehoboam had everything going for him. Rehoboam had the richest kingdom at that time the world had ever seen. Solomon was the richest man to ever live. In today's numbers, Solomon was at least 50 times richer than Bill Gates. Okay, 50 times, all right? Solomon had so much wealth. He had developed so many riches. What happened to Solomon after he had all that wealth and after he had all those riches? He showed Egypt and showcased all of his riches. Solomon then dies, okay? Solomon's the richest guy that ever lives. The Bible calls him the wisest guy that ever lives. He wrote the book of Proverbs, wrote the book of Song of Solomon. By the way, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. If you ever get to at a point in your life where you're just sick of yourself, read the book of Ecclesiastes. Check it out. Solomon talks about how great this life is without God in Ecclesiastes. You know what the final conclusion Solomon has? Life sucks without God. Okay? By the way, that was true when Solomon wrote it, and it's true today. 2 Chronicles, chapter 10. I'm just going to read a little bit, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about it. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all of Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it, that Jeroboam returned to Egypt. They sent for him and called him, and Jeroboam and all of Israel came and spake to Rehoboam and said, "Your father make our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he had put upon us, and we will serve you." So said him, "Come back to me after 3 days," and the people departed. King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, saying, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" And they spoke to him, saying, "If you are kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever." Verse number 8, "But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him, and he consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him." I ask you guys, how many of you knew what you wanted to be when you grew up? How many of you knew where your life was headed? Okay. Rehoboam's life was already before him. He was to be king. He got put in a situation that his dad had taxed the people so much that the people just said, "Hey, I want a break." How many of y'all work a job right now? How many of you pay taxes at the job you work? How many of you wish you paid less taxes? All right. All right, you can go ahead and put your hands up. Everybody wish they paid less taxes. What Rehoboam does is he listens to the guys. His father's the wisest guy that ever lived. You think his father's friends are pretty smart? Generally speaking, if you're smart, you hang around smart people. Have you ever been in a group of idiots and said, "I don't belong here"? All right. Some of y'all in 412 right now thinking, "Man, I don't belong here." Okay, a little ouch there. All right. Sorry, that wasn't meant to be an insult. It just came across that way. But you've been there, right? You're in a class, and you're like, "How in the world did I get stuck in this class? Everybody else here is stupid." All right? I felt bad when I was in college. I had to take a music class. All of us ministry majors were required to take a music class. And in that music class, it was an intro to choral conducting, because we were supposed to all learn how to conduct a choir, like that was some life skill that you needed. And in that class, there were like 20 students, and 18 of us were in there because it was a requirement, and two of them were music students who went on to be brilliant performing musicians. And you know what I realized after a couple weeks? I needed to sit by them, because the other people in the class knew nothing about music. This is the situation Rehoboam's in. He sits down. He gets counsel from the people, his dad, the wise people. And then he says, you know what? I didn't come up with my dad's friends. I came up with my friends. And he sits down with his friends who knew nothing. And his friend says, you know what? Tell him you're going to tax him double. Tell him your dad was a lightweight. And you listen. How many of you know you'd be better off sometimes not to listen to the counsel of your dumb friends? How many of you are that dumb friend? All right, a couple of you, at least honest. I'm gonna fast forward here. I'm gonna fast forward a little bit. I'm gonna fast forward to 2 Chronicles chapter 11. And remember, the whole theme we're talking about tonight is really listening to God. How many of you guys like to know the end of a story before you actually get to the end? Then you don't have to read the middle. We're going to go back to the middle part, but you know what? I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to skip all the way to the end because the end is the most important part of this story. And I'm going to skip all the way to the end. If you have your Bible in front of you, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 12. Chapter number 12, verse number 14. And this is the end of it all. 2 Chronicles 12, 14 is the end of all of this. And 2 Chronicles 12, 14 says something simply like this, and let me go ahead and read it for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. By the way, 2 Chronicles 12, 14 is where a lot of you are living right now. 2 Chronicles 12, 14 says, speaking of King Rehoboam, remember this is Solomon's son, David's grandson. His dad, the Bible said, was the wisest man that ever lived. The Bible said his grandfather was a man after God's own heart. The only person in the entirety of the Bible described as a man after God's own heart. What's it say about Rehoboam? And what's it saying to you? Rehoboam, there, chapter 12, verse 14, speaking of Rehoboam, it says, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He did evil. It doesn't say he woke up one day and said, hey, I just want to mess some stuff up. It doesn't say he did evil because, you know, he just liked to mess with people. It didn't say that he did evil because he was a thief, because he was a horrible person. By the way, when you get into the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, there are some guys that the Bible is very clear that they were just terrible human beings. But it doesn't say that about Rehoboam. Rehoboam's where a lot of us live. And he did evil because he did not prepare. That is a very peaceful, kind ringtone. Thank you. Thank you. That was peaceful. If you're going to interrupt, that's the kind of ringtone to have. I had to turn mine down. I have Mario power up. It doesn't sound near as peaceful when it goes off. Although I had a whole line rehearsed. Yeah, I had a whole line rehearsed with it. All right. Now that AJ's actually recording me, he won't ever want me to fill in again. Yes, he is. See. He won't hear it till later. All right. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. We're going to get back to the middle in a minute because the middle is where some of you guys are going to end up in your story. But let me tell you something. You have a chance to change from where the middle is. He did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Hold your spot there if you're still there in 2 Chronicles. By the way, isn't it awesome? If you have a Bible app, you don't even have to worry about holding your spot. Just hit the button and go right back there. I love the mess of my wife. She still uses the paper Bible on Sunday morning. I always like, ha, beat you again. Some of you are like, and I even checked it on Facebook while I beat you. Paper Bible is like what you guys are, those of you holding. It's a Bible made out of paper.
What's paper? It's like a phone.
Yeah, it's like a phone in written form with less stuff in it. It's like a tablet with less information on it that doesn't change every time they edit Wikipedia. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4:23. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And there, verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips far from you. First thing it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Because if you have issues in life, most of those issues you have in life are with your heart, right? If I step on your foot,
I have steel toe.
I picked the right guy, right? It's not going to hurt a whole lot.
Are you serious?
Even if I stand on it.
No.
It's not going to hurt. All right, let me try this. Nothing at all? If I jump a little bit?
Slam that stool on him.
I'm not going to slam a stool on you. Okay. All right, you're right here.
No.
No.
What? Can I step on your foot just a little bit? Just a little. Okay. I'm going to step on Brooklyn's foot just a little bit. All right. All right. I'm going to step on her foot just a little bit. If I stepped on it and hurt, would that hurt go away?
Yeah.
Pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
Now say I insulted you and I said you were ugly and your mom dressed you funny. And okay. Say I did all that. Say I put mean things about you out on Instagram. Say I Snapchatted all your friends and said you were horrible. That doesn't go away pretty easy, does it?
No.
No, that sticks around. Why? Because that hits to your heart. That hits to your heart. That hits right here. That doesn't just go on your foot and go away. Some of you have harder feet than others. You know, I can step on your foot all day. You don't even care. You could just carry me home on your feet. Now, we'd be good, all right? Some of you, that's an easy thing. But remember, your heart's what's going to get broken. And by the way, the Bible gives us something right there after, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In the original translation there in the Hebrew, there is no period into the next thought. And the next thought is, put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips far from you. How many of you have heart problems that stem from somebody who had a mouth problem? Okay. How many of you ever had a heart problem that came from a mouth problem? All right. Been there? You put yourself out there in a situation, you got hurt? Or someone talked bad about you, shared it to other people? I wish this wheel wouldn't fall off. It really bothers me that it does that, because I love to lean. Yes, thank you. Psalm 37, I'm going to read it for you just for time's sake. Psalm 37 says, trust the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and feed on faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Your heart. Leading into what you guys are going into, you guys are going into a fall retreat this Friday. If you can get your heart right between now and Friday, you guys are going to have an awesome retreat. I will tell you, your retreat, you will have the most fun you've ever had on a retreat, even though it's only got, 2 days to plan it? Three? Let's not talk about that, right? Let's just ignore that right now. We'll just pretend that's... But if your heart's right when you get there, guys, it's going to be amazing, all right? Understand something. If your heart isn't right, it doesn't matter what Brittany, what AJ, it doesn't matter what anybody does there. It's going to be terrible. The same thing with life. Some of you guys said you think you know what you want to be when you grow up. Guess what? God might change some of those plans. But if your heart's set right, everything is a heart issue, guys. Everything in life is a heart issue. Everything. How many of you ever had a broken heart before?
Oh, yes.
All right. I still remember when I was 14 years old, little redhead girl. Our church had a church bus. Yeah, I made the mistake of talking to a redhead too, yes. That didn't end well, right? All right. That can end well, it just usually doesn't. I talked to this redhead girl, asked her out, what? Am I supposed to answer that during the service? Only on the church bus, but never outside of there. I'm sorry. You ask. I answered honestly. Okay. That was the only time it happened.
What is the point of the word only there?
The point of the word only there is to indicate that, like, I didn't, like, go make out with her on the couch and do all kind of other things, right? Yeah, exactly. That's what the word only there means. I'm so glad this is being recorded. And you know what happened? She went to a different school than I did. And at my school, my social class was like, you know, you have like, you know, the captain of the football team, all the real popular people, all the jocks. Then you had cheerleaders. Then you have like the middle class, you know, the people that just, you know. Right. And then you have like the okay, and you have the nerd classification, then there's like the really nerdy nerd. Well, fortunately, I was just in the nerd classification. Like, but being a nerd would only allow me to date nerd girls. And she wasn't. So I went above like two classes up because in her school she was a cheerleader.
I thought it was a myth.
So it happened. And then you know what happened after that? 3 weeks later, she found out who I was at my school. It didn't matter. All the rest of the time I put in this girl's life that I was going to spend the rest of my life with, I put all of this into her, and she just found out that, and she just dropped me. And I said, there's a broken heart. There was a brunette in between. But anyway, there was a broken heart. Devastated. Fast forward 20 years. I hadn't planned on sharing this, and I don't even really know how this plugs into the heart other than the fact I know what it means to have a heart broken. 20 years later, she's my server at Pizza Hut, and I thought to myself, thank you, Lord, for saving me from her. No. She didn't age well. By the way, personality-wise, didn't age well either, so don't base everything on looks. Looks go away. But let me tell you something about Rehoboam. And I'm going to go back to the Rehoboam and then we're going to be done. Rehoboam, remember that little thought there that he did evil because he didn't prepare his heart to serve God, serve the Lord? The other part of that is this. Say, how did that happen? Well, he heard that he listened to his friends. Chapter 11, verse 21, I'm just going to read it for you guys just for time's sake. Now Rehoboam loved Micaiah, the granddaughter of Absalom, more than his wives and his concubines, for he took 18 wives and 60 concubines and begot 28 sons and 60 daughters. Large families back then. So there's a whole different thing there. But I want you to catch something. The wife that he had, remember, he did evil because he didn't seek to serve the Lord. The wife that he had that messed him up, that helped lead him that way, was Absalom's daughter. Who was Absalom? Absalom was the person that led a rebellion against David and tried to kill him. Okay? I want you to get this. I don't want you to get this well, and then I'll be done here in just a minute. The life choices you make every day on who you give your heart to will affect the rest of your life. Life choices on who you give your heart to will affect the rest of your life. You're in middle school, you shouldn't even probably be dating. High school, probably not either. But if you're going to anyway, and I know most of you are going to anyway, that's just fact. If it's going to, realize something. There are people who can turn your heart away from God like that. How do you fix it? How do you solve it? And that's where I'm going to end. That's where I'm done. Guys, focus for me for 2 minutes. Here's the thing. Preparing your heart to seek God is as simple as this. It's as simple as waking up every morning and saying, God, what would you have me do today? And if you say that, by the way, two things are automatically going to happen. One, you're going to find yourself in God's word very often. Two, you're going to find yourself in prayer very often. And let me tell you what three is, and three is the result. The result of that is no matter what happens in life, with your heart fixed on Christ, things are going to be better. And when I say things are going to be better, that doesn't mean you're going to get the nicest car. That doesn't mean you're going to get the prettiest girl. That doesn't mean any of that. That means your heart is going to be fixed on Christ so much that none of that matters compared to serving Him and loving Him. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for the attention of 412 tonight. Lord, I thank you that You are God and King above all, in all, and through all. Lord, I pray that You help us to keep our hearts fixed on You. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank You that He died for us. And I just pray that we would live, Lord, with our hearts fixed on You this week. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.